We're in Acts, chapter 8. We're going to be doing Acts 8:26 through the end of the chapter. So tonight's message, Philip shares the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the example that Philip gives here and just how he is faithful to go when he's told, even when he doesn't know what awaits him. But he's just told to go out in the desert, and he goes, and then you give him the next step, and the next step, you know, he just follows the Holy Spirit and the flexibility that you give him as a saint. And Father, may we use him as an example in our own lives. May we go and just take it one step at a time as you would desire. Father, I pray that our hearts are prepared to hear this message. I pray that your message goes out with the power of the Spirit. And Father, that we receive it in kind and that we apply it to our lives as you would desire, for your glory, your purposes, and to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we saw that even Simon the sorcerer believed as Philip preaches the things concerning God's kingdom and of the salvation power in the name of Jesus. And we saw that Simon the sorcerer was baptized and he followed Philip's ministry around as he was just simply amazed as he saw all the miracles being done through Philip and the power of the Spirit, how it come upon him and how Philip was able to do these different things through the gifts of the Spirit. We also saw that once the people started receiving this power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Simon the sorcerer unfortunately reverts back to his old ways, and he had an eternal choice to make. Reverting back to his old ways, he asked to buy the power from Peter, to buy that power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that was his old ways. As a sorcerer, he'd buy tricks, he'd buy spells, he'd buy incantations and that kind of thing. So he thought you'd do the same with God. But we know with God, it's a gift, the undeserved gift, unmerited favor from God. So he asked to buy this power from Peter, who had come to check out the ministry of Philip. And he saw that the baptism of the Holy Spirit hadn't been realized yet. And so him and John started laying hands on people and they began receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's when Simon saw all this power. He says, hey, give me that power. Let me buy that ability so that I can do the same thing. So it essentially was pride and seeking to serve himself instead of God. And we also saw that Peter rebukes him severely, telling him to repent of this evil, of his heart that was tainted by this evil. He didn't say be saved, so that way we know that we're confident that he had received and had salvation, but that he still had that old man come awake and take over his actions. And unfortunately, again, instead of him repenting, Simon says, you pray for me. Pray that none of these things happen to me, is how it's put in the New Living Translation. Didn't pray with Peter and say, hey, help me pray to repent. But he says, you pray for me that none of these things will happen to me. So he wasn't essentially worried about repenting. He just didn't want these things happening to him. Whereas if he would have repented, he wouldn't have had to worry about those things. And unfortunately, again, third unfortunate thing is church history records that Simon became an enemy of the church as he turned from God. So again, this ties in nicely with what we're reading in Hebrews about how people can begin to drift away and ultimately leads into apostasy, as it apparently has done here in Simon, with Simon. So today, we see Deacon Philip is used mightily again. So he was used greatly in Samaria. Now he's going to be moved on in the ministry to go and evangelize in another place. So that proves you don't have to have a perfect ministry. You know, even though he had overlooked baptizing in the power of the Spirit, God uses him for his own purposes or for the purposes that God had planned for him. And he utilized Philip in the ways of ministry that he had gotten right. In other words, the things that Philip did right, such as evangelizing, that's what God was going to use him for. And so tonight we'll see that he was sent out to evangelize one person, an Ethiopian eunuch in the desert. So our application is, May we not hesitate when God tells us to go, so that He can use what we got right in ministry for His purposes. And may we pray continually to be matured in all the ways of Christ, in all the ways of the ministry, all along the way, all along the truth, and all along the life. So that's our application tonight. May we go and use what God has given us where we're at this time. And may He mature us along the way. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and let's read Acts 8:26 through 29. So we get into the first of three sections. This section I've titled, Now Go, Even Out into the Desert. So we see here in 8:26 through 29, it says, Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. So, what do we see here? We see now an angel of the Lord, as it says in verse 26, spoke to Philip. So what does this remind us of? It reminds us again of what we're reading in Hebrews about how the angels are ministering spirits to those who are being saved and those who are about to be saved, right? So here an angel came and spoke to Philip, who was a saint, and said, hey, you need to go out to the desert, because now we know that there's someone waiting to be saved out there. He didn't know that. Philip didn't know that. But so as was presented in Hebrews, angels are ministering spirits to those who are obtaining salvation and have obtained salvation. So, Philip was given a very short message. Arise and go. Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza, as it was put in the New Living Translation. What I particularly like about this is very much similar to how my leading has been in the Lord. Notice he wasn't told what he was to do or who he was to meet. He was just told to go. And this is how the Lord often leads us, as I know this is how he's led me. He's led us one step at a time. He don't give you the whole picture. He says, go and do this. And you go and do it, and then something, another door opens up. Then pretty soon you got a hallway with a whole bunch of doors that open. And then it, as the Lord would lead you each step along the way, you can look back and say, wow, God had this all planned. It was all set up by God. All we had to do was walk through that first door, then the next door, and then take the steps and go along the way, the truth, and the life as He would lead us. But we're also going to have to be observant to see what opportunities lie next for us as He's leading and guiding us. So, one step at a time. Go and see what awaits. Now, how did Philip respond? It says in verse 27, essentially, he immediately arose and went. Without hesitation, without questioning. He left a very fruitful work in Samaria. We read how everybody was being saved there. Even the sorcerer was being saved. There was great joy in the city. That had to be a wonderful mountaintop for Philip. Like, oh man, what a great, thank you, Lord, you know. And now he's told, go out into the desert for some unknown reason. He don't know what awaits for him. Now, we might have thought that Philip would have objected, you know, to leaving this wonderful work in Samaria to go out into the wilderness. But God had a plan for him. And Philip, as our lesson gives us, for us all to do, submitted to God's plan. Just the first step. That's all we can submit to until He gives us the next step. We don't even know what the whole plan is. We're just to take that step. And we say, yeah, but an angel told him to go. I'd go too if an angel come up and told me that I was supposed to go. Well, would we? We often have people that we don't know or just barely know come up and confirm maybe a calling you've had in your life or a prayer or a dream or something, and God will give them a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom and say, the Lord's put on my heart to share this with you, that you're to go out to the desert, or you're to go to Dothan, or you're to do these different things. That, in effect, is an angel. What is an angel but a messenger? Do we then listen to that messenger and go after we haven't listened or obeyed that small, still voice? After we haven't listened or obeyed what we had dreamed about, what God had given us in scriptures, and now he sends somebody along and says, yes, I'm confirming it to you. Go. Often we'll hesitate and just say, oh, well, that was just a coincidence. Philip didn't do that. He was obedient immediately. Our problem is we try to stop and reason things instead of following the spiritual guidance and leading of the Lord. And we reason ourselves out of many opportunities. You know, sometimes we're more like Gideon. Remember Gideon, he would test God with the fleece. He laid out the fleece when he said, well, if you want me to do this, Lord, now that you've got me dwindled down to 300 people, right? Let the fleece be wet and the grass be dry. So that next morning the fleece was wet and the grass was dry. The next day he said, well, let the fleece be dry and the grass be wet. And it did it. It's like pretty soon he had to just give up and say, okay, I'll do it. But that's really testing God. We don't want to test God. Philip didn't test God. He was just obedient and went. And as a little background, there are two roads to go from Jerusalem to Gaza. He could have taken the well-traveled road where the cities and villages were. But that's not what he was told to do. He was told by the angel or this messenger from God to take the less traveled road. And this is a very valuable lesson for us too. As God will often direct us to leave successful works of ministry in order to take the road less traveled. To take those roads off the highways and byways and go to where there's maybe one person that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, as he desires all to be saved. Everyone to be saved. And he will then take his faithful ministers to take that road less traveled. He'll take them out into the wilderness and out into the deserts to leave those successful ministries and their prosperous jobs and these different things that they're all comfortable with and lead them out into the wilderness, maybe to lead a few people to come to the Lord. But each and every soul is so precious to Jesus and so precious to the Father, just as our soul is. And he'll lead us there to speak to someone who is searching for him out there in that wilderness. And it's all because God wants none to perish. What other reason is there? That it also keeps the minister humble. Keeps the minister focused on Christ and depending on him. All too often when we start getting comfortable, we start trusting in our bank accounts. Trusting in what we've already done, what we have done instead of what God has done into and through us. And resting on our laurels instead of drawing nearer to God. I'm sure it humbled Philip in his humility as he went along that desert road, as he's obeying the Lord, just trusting in him. And behold, lo and behold, an Ethiopian eunuch with great authority under Queen Candace was there. One who was returning from home, as it says in verse 28, returning home via this less traveled route. Probably less traveled, therefore less bandits, less corruption and crooks and those kind of things along the way. And he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So this was apparently an Ethiopian proselyte to Judaism, returning from Jerusalem and reading the scriptures as he was hungering for God's word, hungering to know, to understand who God was and what God had in store for him. And typically a scroll back then was very costly. It would have cost him a lot of money. So it showed that, you know, he was willing to expend large sums of money in order to draw closer to God, in order to have this opportunity to learn, because he really thirsted for God's word and wanted to draw nearer to God, but didn't know how. And that's the kind of people that God will send us out to. Will set it up all for us. Those who are truly seeking him will find him, because he will send us. Those who are faithful to go to preach that good news of Jesus to these lost souls who are wondering and wanting to know more of God. Background, low background. Ethiopia was much larger then than it is today. It was the land where the Queen of Sheba came out of, who saw the glory of Solomon's kingdom and of his God, the glory of his God. And she had professed faith in the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's likely that part of that Jewish faith was passed down through the centuries to royalty, such as Queen Candace, and these men who served the royalty, such as this eunuch. Here he was. He was basically the finance minister for Candace, in charge of all her treasury. Kind of reminds me of Joseph, right? How Joseph was in charge of, you know, all of Pharaoh's treasures, if you will, like the head administrator. So we now see that Philip gets the next step of the Lord's guidance. Then the Spirit said to Philip in verse 29, go again, right? Go and overtake this chariot. No further directions were given. Just go and overtake that chariot. And he was faithful to do so, even though it would have taken a lot of boldness to do, because it would have been apparent that this Ethiopian was a rich and powerful man, probably in the way he was traveling and probably had a whole caravan. But he didn't let that stop him. He was faithful to obey the leading of the Spirit. And he was empowered with this boldness. And we're going to find that that's one thing that always accompanies the being Spirit-filled and being prepared to share the gospel, is why you may have intrepidation before you go. Once you go filled with the Spirit, he gives you the boldness to go forward regardless of the situation, regardless of who you're going to confront or who's going to be there or whatever. He will give you the boldness. That's one of the gifts. If he's going to have you give the message, he's going to give you the boldness to share the message, and he's going to give you the message to share. Remember, Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words. The Holy Spirit will actually be speaking through you. So Philip knew that regardless of this man's status, he needed Jesus. And Philip knew what to do about that, because he was well practiced up by then to share the gospel. You know, and as we look at this example, we think of ourselves. We often shrink back from speaking boldly about Jesus. At least I know in my past I have. Because the world hates us talking about him. They literally don't want to hear it. And they turn against us when we start talking about the one we love, our precious Jesus. But you know, the world will not hesitate to impose its own gods of evil desire on us. I mean, you can't get away from it. It's all ubiquitous. I mean, everywhere you turn, there are gods of lust and corruption and wealth and the things of this world, the temporal things of this world are just coming upon us all the time and grating against us. But the Spirit is faithful. We're made bolder than the world so that we can proclaim Jesus. He says, shout what I've told you on the rooftops. Shout that he is the Son of God, the Son of the one true God. And the reality is if Christ's work is hindered, it's because some Philip, that would be us, is not willing to go. That's how commentator Morgan puts it. If God's work is hindered, who has hindered it? Those who have failed to respond to the call and to go faithfully, even though we know in our minds that he'll give us everything we need. But it's not here in our hearts as far as taking those steps necessary just to go through that open door. And we don't know what opportunities we missed until we get before the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ. And then we'll have a sense of loss. And just as we're reading in Hebrews, when we fail to do a good work, we know that's the sin of omission. Pressing on, verses 30 through 34. Preacher, I read these words, but what do they mean? So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? So Philip didn't walk just up to the chariot, because, you know, the chariot was moving along quite, I'm sure, at a pretty good pace. He ran up to the chariot, ran up to the eunuch, heard him reading, and asked, do you understand what you're reading in verse 30? It's because at that time it was common for people to read aloud. And so here the eunuch was reading aloud. And Philip knew what scripture he was reading because he was hearing it as he was there at the chariot. So Philip knew right then that God had opened the door and had prepared a heart for him to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, how many times have you ever witnessed or got ready to share the gospel, and they happen to be reading a salvation message and say, I just don't understand this. Could you explain it to me? Well, it may not be that bold, or that, I should say, that evident, but we know that if the Lord has sent us to share the gospel, that heart is prepared, and we need to be faithful in doing our part. So I say all that to say this. Plainly, God had arranged this meeting between Philip and the Ethiopian. This is a great example of how God opens the doors for evangelism. God directed Philip because he already had arranged the open door. All Philip had to do was be there when he was told to be there, to walk through that door. And one of our main responsibilities in sharing the gospel, as we all have the ministry of reconciliation, is simply praying for doors to be open, just as Paul prayed that the doors would be open and that he would speak boldly the good news of Jesus Christ as he was imprisoned. And then, having prayed for the doors to be open, may we pray to be alert and vigilant to see the opportunities that God gives us, and to be ready, willing, and able then in the Lord to share that good news. So Philip was an effective evangelist, as he knew how to flow with the Holy Spirit. It says, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. He didn't know the whole picture. He didn't know how it was going to end. He went out to the desert. He ran up to the chariot, seen this guy reading the passage about Christ becoming a sacrificial lamb, and he's asking, hey, can you explain this to me? So he knew right then what was waiting for him. So he was open to the flow of the Holy Spirit, and he was truly led by the Spirit, not by his own whims or feelings. Otherwise, he would have just stayed in Samaria. But through that personal relationship he had with Christ, he knew that small, still voice of Jesus, because that's the voice you'll hear. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit, is that small, still voice that says, go. First, he was told by an angel overtly, go out to the desert. Then as he's out there in the desert, he sees this chariot, and that small, still voice, the leading of the Spirit, says, now, go up to that chariot. And he ran up there. It's because of the relationship he had with Christ. He didn't, poo-poo what he heard in his heart. He went. And what a tragedy it would have been if Philip had went out to the desert as he was directed to go, then decided for himself, that's a rich guy. He don't need anything. He's already being blessed. He's coming back from Jerusalem. He's obviously worshiped there. He's already blessed. I mean, he doesn't need me to share the gospel. That's where we reason ourselves out of serving the Lord, because of appearances. But seldom are things as they appear. So we need to trust that leading that we have in that small, still voice. Because, we'll want to talk ourselves out of it, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, what am I going to say? What if they confront me? Go forward in the Spirit, in the strength of the Lord. You gave me your sneeze. Pressing on. And the eunuch said, verse 31, how can I understand unless someone teaches me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him so that Philip could explain it all to him. And it's wonderful when we can come to understand the great truths of the Bible on our own. It's just wonderful. It's like a treasure hunt, and these nuggets come of gold, you know, gold understanding, the treasure of wisdom and knowledge that of Jesus Christ that we're given through the Holy Spirit. But there's also a place for pastors, teachers, and preachers among his children. And that place is to help facilitate knowing Jesus, either to be introduced through the gospel or to be discipled on an ongoing basis. So to facilitate that relationship. And understanding was the right thing to ask for. It was the right question for Philip to ask, and it was the right thing for the eunuch to acknowledge that he didn't have. As you can't know the things of God in your heart unless and until you comprehend them clearly in your mind via the Spirit. So he just couldn't comprehend it. So this lesson that we have here is, may we always admit when we don't understand Scripture, as that's the way of wisdom. And the first thing I do when I, prayerfully, the first thing I always do when I don't understand the Scripture is lift it up to the Lord. Father, open this Scripture up to me. Help me understand it. It just doesn't seem to make sense. And sit there and wait on the Lord for a few minutes. And many times He'll give me another Scripture to look at, and I'll read that Scripture and it'll open everything up. Other times it won't come, and then I'll wake up the next morning, it'll be there. Or I'll hear something on the radio, or Pat will be studying something, and it'll be, you know, God gives it to us. So may we ask. If I don't know, then I'll, you know, call Pastor Tim or Pastor Dave or whatever and ask. You know, it's, don't be afraid to admit when you don't understand Scripture, because again, that's the way of wisdom. Verse 32, the place in Scripture he was reading was Isaiah 53, 7 through 8. And again, it was in the Septuagint version. If you read the Septuagint online Bible, it'll read exactly as verses 32 through 33 are written. You won't find these same, written the same way when you go to Isaiah. It reads differently in the New King James, but when you look at it in the Septuagint, it reads exactly the same. So, and it's about where it speaks of Christ's atoning sacrifice as the Lamb of God, and in His humility, He kept silent, and His justice was taken away because He kept His mouth shut and allowed them, as He gave His life up for us, to murder, well, not to murder, to crucify Him as the sacrificial Lamb. He lost His justice, but by Him losing His justice, because He was an innocent man, the God-man, we were all justified through that and freed from the bondage of sin. So, verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, "Of whom does the prophet speak here? Of himself or some other man?" God's perfect setup. The eunuch was pounding at the door of understanding. He had the right question. Whom does this Scripture speak of? And then following God's leading, the answer was given to him by Philip. And that's how easy God often makes it when we're faithful to pray, to be led to that person that God has set aside for us to share the gospel with. You know, and why this is such an interesting, I mean, why it's so important, certainly because in order for him to understand about Christ being the Savior, he had to understand whom this message was being spoke of. But if he had just come from Israel, you know, in Israel, they taught there in the first century about the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the conquering king. They didn't speak or teach on the suffering Messiah. So he wouldn't, what a question to be able to ask. That shows that his mind was sifting through the false teaching that he was getting, or the incomplete teaching he was getting. And he cut right to the chase. Whom does this speak of? Whom is this suffering Messiah? When they would ignore the question and only speak of the conquering king. And that's why it led to many to miss the Messiah when he came, as they didn't believe in a suffering Messiah. It didn't fit their narrative. They didn't want a suffering Messiah. They wanted to be relieved from the yoke of bondage from the Roman Empire. They wanted that conquering king. Unfortunately, today, many people are still doing the very same thing, as suffering saints don't fit in their narrative. They want to reign and rule in heaven without even first being a faithful subject to the kingdom while they're here on earth. Suffering servants don't fit in with their narrative. So being perfected in Christ just isn't acceptable to them. You don't have to do anything, which we know is not the case. It's a partnership in Christ. He does it all into and through us, and it was finished at the cross, but our part is the responsibility he gives us in the response to his love and the ability he gives us to surrender to him. So in closing, verses 35 through 40, and it reads, "Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." So the eunuch believed and was baptized. So then in verse 35, we see Philip opened his mouth. And basically this is indicating that he opened his mouth and the Spirit spoke through him. Just as the Lord promised. Preaching Jesus. He began with the scripture where the eunuch was at. He met him at common ground where the eunuch was. And then he shared how Jesus fulfilled this passage. And of course, it was the perfect passage to talk about the Messiah and the Lamb of God and how he suffered and died for our sins and rose on the third day. And you know, you can start anywhere in the Bible and lead people to Jesus because the whole Bible points to him. The whole Bible, Jesus is found on every page of the Bible if you look for it. So you could begin anywhere where anybody is in Scripture and use that to lead them to Jesus. So that's certainly, Philip could have done it with other scriptures, but certainly this was perfectly set up by God. As we know that the gospel begins and ends on what he has done for us and not on what we're to do for God. As we can do nothing for God, as he's done it all for us in Christ, may we just remain there. I mean, that's our whole role as far as salvation is concerned. Once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, to remain in him, in his Lordship. And he does it all into and through us. And so Philip would have explained this to some degree. And so now in verse 36, they went down the road and the eunuch spotted some water and asked Philip, "Now that you've told me about Jesus being my Lord and Savior, essentially, why can't I be baptized?" And this is how Acts 8:37 is stated in the Amplified Bible. And I like how he puts it because it gives us some level of detail here. Philip said, when he asked, "Why can't I be baptized?" He said, "If you believe with all your heart, if you have a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, and accept him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving him your obedience, then you may be baptized." So this literally shows the picture of what conversion looks like. What people are literally, when they confess Christ as their Lord, this is literally the picture of what they're confessing. That they have been convicted of their sins, that they trust in Jesus for their salvation, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and they accept him as the author of their salvation into the kingdom. And only him and him alone is the narrow gate for them to enter in. And that they will give him their obedience because that's what we're confessing as far as him being our Lord. "Then you may be baptized." And the eunuch replied simply, "I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So the eunuch commanded the chariot to be stopped. Verse 38, and Philip, as led by the Spirit, baptized him upon this confession that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God. And Guzik puts it this way. This confession of faith, taken in all that it means, is the essential belief for anyone who will come to God. First, we must believe in the person of Jesus, in all that he is and has done as Christ. Second, we must believe that he is the divine Son, and that he is the Son of God, sent from the Father to accomplish the salvation of all those who will believe in their hearts. Thus, when the Ethiopian said, Jesus Christ, he confessed him as Messiah, as his Christ, and he agreed with his mind and heart that Jesus is the sin-bearing servant that Isaiah had described. So my concluding statement to all that is this demonstrates that the gift of faith had been received by the Ethiopian from God. So we don't have to have big, long confessions. I mean, it's the heart. It's not what they're saying with their mouth. He said, yeah, I confess Jesus is the Son of God. Not, well, I repent and I do all this and I'm going to do this. It's like, hey, it's the heart that God looks at. And as led by the Spirit, you baptize people. Amen. So, now when they came up out of the water, verse 39, Philip was caught away, and that word in Greek is harpazo. It's the same word that's used in First Thessalonians 5:17. It's where we're going to be caught up. We're going to be raptured and be with the Lord forever. So he was raptured in a sense. He was transported supernaturally in some way to the former Philistine city of Azotus. So no wonder Philip is the only one in the New Testament specifically given the title of the evangelist, because we see him all the way from that Philistine city to Caesarea, which was quite a distance. He evangelized all the way along those other villages. And he was still in Caesarea when we get to Acts 21:8. So he was going to be there when we get to Acts 21:8. So he was continuing to evangelize. Now, church tradition indicates that this eunuch went home and evangelized all of Ethiopia. So the eunuch not only went on his way rejoicing, as it says here in the Word, he went on his way evangelizing. So our application, may we not hesitate when God tells us to go. May we pray always to be matured in Christ, all along the way, the truth, and the life. And may we trust in Him to do that, into and through us. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We love You. We adore You. We thank You for this time. We thank You for the example of both Philip, his faithfulness, and the eunuch's faithfulness, that once he received Christ, there was no hold barred. There was just a life of abandon in his powerful position. He went back and evangelized all of Ethiopia, which is still today a Christian nation. And so we lift all this up to You, and we praise You. We praise You for what You've given us tonight. May we be those good and faithful servants and follow the leading that You give us. We know that we don't have a perfect ministry, but we know that we have a perfect high priest who's going to lead us, guide us, and take us along the way. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.